Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
She's not new to this.
She is true to this.
On Point with Bondo and Stokes.
Live well, win well.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Oh, it's my life. Hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie. You f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be all right.
Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wandling Stokes, right here, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. But it's a pleasant good morning to Attorney Gerald Griggs. What is it? Good morning and welcome to On Stokes. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. We're so glad to have you sharing with us today. There is so much happening in the world, and of course, you know, here in Atlanta. But Attorney Gerald Griggs, second vice president of the NAACP and also chair of the Criminal Justice Committee for the Georgia NAACP, an active attorney that's engaged in criminal justice and criminal reform, you know, just throughout the world, and you've been the face of many heises throughout the country. But I want you to talk to us, first of all, about your heart, your desire to seek truth, mercy, and justice forever. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, you know, I started my career about 16 years ago in criminal law as a public defender, and I saw a lot of the inequities in the system. And so I've dedicated my life to trying to balance the scales of justice. And so that's, you know, led my matriculation through the longest trial in Georgia history, the biggest marches in Georgia history, and just trying to push legislative change to impact the social condition day and time as we are here in Atlanta and around the state.
What are some, you know, give us an idea of some of the inequalities that you've seen over the years in your experiences as an attorney?
Well, I mean, mass incarceration, the school-to-prison pipeline, just the continuation of the effects of white supremacy in the system and the disproportionate impact that it has on people of color. So, I mean, I've seen it all. You know, I've seen young people sentenced to massive amounts of time and was successful in getting those sentences overturned. I've seen school teachers sent to prison. I've seen a lot, you know, and now that we're in an age of accountability where we're dealing with police accountability, we're working on balancing the scales so that law enforcement is held to the same standard as ordinary citizens.
Right, right. And do you see, Attorney Griggs, that even though historically have been dealing with the racial inequalities, do you believe that we've made any progress, even though it's still happening? Do you believe we've made progress, or that we're in the same condition that we were before? It just looks different.
I think we've made progress. I mean, the fact that I'm sitting here having you speaks to the progress that we're having. You know, in the past, we had one or two attorneys in this space, the Thurgood Marshalls and the Charles Hamilton Houstons of history, and now you have thousands. So I just think that we are making progress. It's a slow and deliberate pace in 1 year of oppression, but I do see progress. I mean, the fact that we are seeing these particular protests, the George Floyd protests, the Rayshard Brooks protests, leading to actionable change within the law and within the systems. Now, it's not moving as fast as some people would like, having as great an impact as I would like, but we are seeing progress. I mean, the mere fact that today City Council will be voting on the Rayshard Brooks bill, and that in Congress they are trying to push through the George Floyd bill to reform police, volumes to where we are, but it also speaks volumes to where we have to go. And we have to address the impediments that are blocking this. And that's politicians who don't want to take it up, that's police unions that want to shift the narrative, and that's the issue of media that does not appropriately cover what's actually happening on the ground with these. I was posting, as we were talking, the actual photos of the last 37, 38 days of protests here in Atlanta, so we don't change the narrative, because we've had thousands upon thousands of Atlantans and Georgians take the streets, mm-hmm. and we don't want to be distracted of a few individuals that are trying to change the narrative.
And it is so easy to be distracted when you have individuals that are trying to change the narrative. What do you see as the purpose and the importance of protests?
I think protests are awareness of the issues. I think we weren't really having this conversation about the issues until the rise of Black Lives Matter to refocus the issue on systemic racism, mm-hmm. on racial intolerance, on police brutality. The very reason that Colin Kaepernick took a knee was to raise awareness, and now we're conversation that's leading to change. And so that's the purpose of the protest. But Dr. King always said there are three essential steps to get change. You need agitation, which is protest. You need legislation, which is changing laws. And you need litigation to sue and make sure those laws are enforced. So I think we're in the first stage of this. We're trying to push toward the second stage, and we're getting pushed back by some elected officials who have not been at the protests, who do not understand the conversation that we're having in America, and that want to be roadblocks in the movement towards change.
But attorney, when you look at these politicians who were put in office by the people, and not just African-American individuals, but why do you think they don't want to even be involved or engaged in the protests or the issues?
I think because they're in bed with special interest groups, mm-hmm. and the special interest groups have paid for their campaigns, paid for their television ads, and are not allowing them to speak the will of the people. The people have spoken. I mean, a grand amount of America is speaking, saying that we live with fundamental change. And so we have to make sure that we hold these elected officials accountable on November the 3rd, the ones that want to be obstructionists. This is America. America is moving in a progressive manner. We're not trying to regress.
Right.
For individuals that don't want to have a common reimagining the allocation of our tax dollars to go into the community instead of incarcerating the community,
right.
that seems to be a simple request. Yes, people want public safety. I think we have to reimagine what public safety looks like, and I think that's an easy once you're open to reimagining. We have to demilitarize police because, mm-hmm. you know, I myself, who've been one of the protesters who's been out there for 39 days, I've seen militarized police attack peaceful protesters. I was
mm-hmm.
posting the pictures a few minutes ago. You don't need weaponry to deal with a person with a sign and a bullhorn. And so I think that we have to reimagine what that looks like. And then we have to have a real conversation about this blue flu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
if we truly are about law enforcement, why would we neglect our duties in one of the most important historical moments in this city?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we know police are important and integral to the administration of justice, but the administration of justice must be fair and equitable. So I'm a little disheartened that my brothers, who are also officers of the court, are failing to realize that accountability goes both ways. We know that when a citizen commits murder, they will be arrested. They will go through the judicial process and probably be held accountable. Why can't the same be said for law enforcement?
And when would you say, Attorney Griggs, that when other fellow police officers are silent, that they are actually speaking in volumes?
That speaks volumes. I mean, you know, silence is complicity. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that there are a lot of great law enforcement officers. My family members have been great law enforcement officers in Atlanta Police. So we're not talking about the good officers.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
talking about the ones that are running afoul of the law. And right. for the blue wall of silence to continue to protect them runs counter to the oath that all of the officers took to protect and serve the community and to uphold the rule of law. The last time I checked in the murder statute, it didn't say that there was one law for murder for citizens and another law for murder for law enforcement. It just said murder.
Murder.
And so my issue now is that we are having a rise in the amounts of shootings and a rise in the amounts of killings over the past weekend. My question is, where was law enforcement to make sure the law applied equally?
Attorney Gerald Griggs right here at On Point with Wandell and Stokes. We'll be back with more. Join the conversation, 404-892-2703. It's On Point with Wandell and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's the new Rashad.
Now back to On Point with Wanda and Stokes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live well, win well. On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes, Radio News and Talk with 1380 WAOK. We're speaking with attorney at law Gerald Griggs, who's sharing with us today. He's also second vice president of the Atlanta chapter of the NAACP and chairman for the Criminal Justice Committee for the Georgia NAACP. Let's go to our phone line. Shelton of Atlanta has a question or comment. Go ahead, Shelton. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Stokes and Attorney Griggs. Yeah, I have a question I'd like you to respond to. You know, one of our foremost researchers, scientists, and scholars, Dr. Amos Wilson, said that America is a crimogenic society. It has its very roots in crime that has persisted until today. And we might question whether it's still active, but when we have a president-to-be that says that he could go out in the public and commit a criminal act and still occupy that office, does that not indicate that the very legal criminal justice system itself has to come under scrutiny?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I agree that the criminal justice system has to always be under scrutiny because if it's not used effectively, it can be used to destroy the society that it governs as well as the people. So I definitely agree with that. And for the office holder of the presidency to say that he is above the law runs afoul of the law. And so I just think that it's incumbent upon individuals within the criminal justice system to make sure it works effectively so the people don't lose faith in it.
Yes, but doesn't that also give an indication as to where the state of mind of a large majority of the country is in itself to even elect a person like that and then offer him support? And other thing, not only that, but, you know, and then we want to impose on our youth because they've been influenced and indoctrinated by the violence in this society, then we want to hold them accountable for their action. I think I won't hold it up, but, you know, I think we have to revisit all of this because this is this whole crime is a basic aspect of the American way of life. And if we continue to ignore that, then we can't solve the problem. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Attorney Griggs, what are your thoughts overall on this whole case of Ahmaud Arbery? Just overall, what happened, the shooting itself of this young black man jogging and running in the neighborhood. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it was a public lynching. I've been down to Brunswick at least three times now. I've been in that neighborhood twice. I've walked the scene. I've talked to witnesses. And I think that it was clear from the very inception that this was a murder, that it was premeditated murder. And I'm happy now that authorities are listening to the will of the people and have charged the McMichaels and William Roddy Bryant for that murder. My hope is that more individuals will be charged because, you know, I'm in receipt of information that more individuals were involved in this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my hope is that justice will come to Wanda Cooper Jones. And, you know, we at the NAACP have promised to stay on this case from the beginning. We were the first organization to actively call for justice through the Brunswick chapter, and we've elevated that call all the way up. So I'm proud of the individuals that are running with Maude. Mm-hmm. I'm right now confident that justice will prevail in this situation, and if it doesn't, we will take the steps necessary to bring in the federal government. The Department of Justice is already investigating, and we will hold any politician accountable that does not follow the will of the people. So with regard to our dear brother Ahmaud, I think we will get justice in that case, and now we are shifting our focus to Rayshard Brooks to make sure that those individuals are held accountable, and of course our sister Breonna Taylor, as well as George Floyd, and all of the victims of police brutality that have happened in Atlanta and in Georgia, whether that's Oscar Kane, mm-hmm. Kane Rogers, Jamarian Robinson, Jimmy Acheson, just to name a few.
What do you think, Attorney Griggs? What is it about African-American men and women that is so intimidating to police officers or to those who are white supremacists?
I think it's the whole narrative of white supremacy that mm-hmm. has to pick a certain group of individuals to label inferior. And so when you label someone inferior, you dehumanize them, and then you legitimize the right to brutalize them. And so I think that's what happens, and I think it's permeated law enforcement. And I think we have to remove that culture. We have to look at the very inception of law enforcement and policing, which is from slave catching. And so once we realize the history, we have to deconstruct that history and change the way we view public safety. And so I think that's the conversation that needs to be had. It needs to be had with our elected officials. It needs to be had with the police union. And it needs to be had with the citizens so we can reimagine what policing or public safety will look like, make it more community-focused, more community-oriented, less warriors and more guardians, and have a real conversation about what we want from law enforcement. And we have to remind law enforcement that you are not the law. You are just there to enforce mm-hmm. the law and bring individuals to the court where we can determine what justice really looks like. So I think we got to have a real conversation about this and rethink it, reimagine it, reconstruct it from its very inception.
But that's with willing partners, willing to sit down and have that discussion. And that's part of the problem, because sometimes when you've been programmed a certain way, how do you get a mindset of politicians, police officers who have been programmed and implemented a certain way historically to entrap, to think that they are the law, to change that mindset?
Well, I think it starts with accountability, and I mm-hmm. think it started mm-hmm. in DeKalb County. You know, many people talk about no law enforcement officer has been held accountable or sent to prison for violating citizens' rights, and that's just not true. Robert Olson, just last year in DeKalb County, was sentenced to 20 years in prison for the unlawful killing of our dear brother Anthony Hill. Mm-hmm. And so I think the conversation has already started. Gregory Towns' case, we had an officer sentenced for felony murder to a life sentence. So I think that it's time for them to understand that there are individuals within the criminal justice system, namely lawyers and judges, that will hold them accountable. So either they're going to change this conversation mm-hmm. or they're going to be held accountable. And that starts from the low-level line officers all mm-hmm. the way up to the chief. So we're not asking anymore. This is a demand. And so when you have district attorneys who have the courage to charge them, and I'm not just talking about Paul Howard, I'm mm-hmm. talking about
Ms. Boston over here in DeKalb County. I'm talking about in Henry County with our Darius Petillo and all the other DAs who are now taking a strong look at what public integrity looks like.
Right.
For the police unions, you need to understand that you can go on television all day long, but when it comes to coming inside the bar where justice is really meted out, you need to realize that there are other individuals who are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the state of Georgia that will uphold those laws. So you need to get on the right side of history and understand that when an officer runs afoul of the law, they will be held accountable.
Exactly. And I think that brings also into play when you were talking earlier about media sometimes controlling the narrative and protecting certain individuals, certain politicians and certain lawmakers, protecting them by changing the narrative and really giving really false news.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. And I think that our media partners need to understand something. A crime is not a crime until they're convicted of the crime. So if you're just reporting what's in a police report, 16 years of being a criminal defense attorney has taught me to read what's not in the police report. That is a one-sided narrative.
Yeah,
the truth comes out in court. So for our media partners, please stop reporting the police say. Actually go to the ground and interview the witnesses to get the information that actually happened in that crime, and then let it run its course through the court, and then you can say a crime was committed. I always say when a police officer arrests somebody, that's a suspect, and that's a suspected offense. It's not actually a crime until they're convicted.
Attorney Gerald Griggs on point with Wandle and Stokes. Stick around. We're going to ask him about this new hate crime bill and also the Bill 838. More to come. We'll get your questions in. 404-892-2703. I've got you coming, callers. It is on point with Wandle and Stokes and News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Thank God for WAOK, because if we didn't have this system, we didn't have WAOK, if we didn't have social media, we would believe all the negative attacks.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Breaking news, sports, weather, and traffic. We're live from the WAOK newsroom on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Soaring coronavirus infections overshadowed.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us now at 404-892-2703. On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes is on. Live well and win well on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Just bring me the sunshine with your smile. I'll be okay. No matter.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're glad to have with us attorney Gerald Griggs on the lines with us and sharing with us in a great conversation about what's happening, civil unrest, police accountability, and just racism that's going throughout the land. Gregory of Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the conversation. Attorney Griggs is on the line.
Yes, good morning, Wanderlyn and attorney Gerald Griggs. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we've had several of the deadly police shootings of young black men, just like it has occurred in Atlanta and other parts of the nation. And up here in Charlotte, the chief of police and the city attorney called a town hall meeting for the community after one of the shootings. I think it was the Keith Lamont Scott shooting. And you had about 1,000 people at Little Rock AME Church. And when the police chief and the city attorney got up, they basically said, we're not making excuses for the police, but we're here to tell you that what is happening is supported by law, not just local or state law, but Supreme Court law. And the chief and the attorney quoted two cases. One was called Graham v. Connor, and one was called Tennessee v. Garner. And when I checked out these cases, one thing that stood out is that both of these cases involved the police against African Americans at the Supreme Court. So I wanted to ask you first, Attorney Griggs, is the fact that those cases involved black people, is that part of the reason why there's such a focus on African Americans for these police shootings? And also, you mentioned that you are trained in the manner of Thurgood Marshall and Charles Hamilton Houston. I want to ask you, are you and any other attorneys planning like them to take a case to the Supreme Court to overturn these laws like they did with Brown versus Board of Education?
And that's an excellent question. And you caught it right, the nail right on the head. We are planning that because we have to change the precedent. And I hear police argue the Graham case and argue the Garner case up and down, and they were trying to argue it in the Rayshard Brooks case, but our district attorney here, Mr. Paul Howard, and several others believe that the case law stands for the proposition that if it's unreasonable use of force and the objective reasonable standard that was established in those two cases were violated, then you can still proceed. So I do think the law needs to be changed. I think that we need to argue it all the way up. And just like Thurgood did, he got a pipeline of cases ready to go up to the Supreme Court. So we have to litigate it in the trial court and unfortunately then lose at the trial court stage and then appeal all the way up to the Supreme Court. Hopefully we will win at the trial court stage and not have to go to the Supreme, but we are prepared to do that. So I'm glad you picked up on that. Many jurisdictions around the nation are using those two cases as a buffer or a block to get real accountability, and so we are planning on challenging them when the right case presents itself. And, of course, that's why we're pushing prosecutors to try these cases. So if we are unsuccessful, we can challenge the law in the Supreme Court.
And that's why you, Attorney Griggs, you say we seek truth, mercy, and justice forever. It's a never-ending battle, just constantly trying to seek justice. What are your thoughts on the hate crime bill, 426, also in relation to the 838 police bill?
Yeah, I think that the hate crime bill, the 426 bill, was a historical step by Georgia. Unfortunately, it took the death of our dear brother Ahmaud to get it passed, and I think that the 838 bill is a slap in the face. Because under Georgia law, there are already carve-outs and protections for law enforcement. You know, there are enhancements already for any type of attack on a police officer. So to give a police officer civil rights when most of the other citizens in Georgia do not have civil rights, because this is one of four states that does not have a comprehensive state civil rights act, is a slap in the face. So I believe that I'm glad the governor signed the historic hate crime bill, because now we have a hate crimes bill in Georgia. But we're hopeful and we're pressing that he does not sign 838, which would empower police to not only have civil rights protections, but they can also sue to protect their civil rights. So, I mean, I think that, you know, in a state where we are the birthplace of civil rights, it's an affront to justice and the law to give more protections to individuals who are sworn to protect and serve the community than you give to the community. My hope is, you know, and the Georgia NAACP has already started the process of fighting this potential signature of this. We are calling for protests and, of course, calling people to contact the governor to tell him to veto the bill 838. And we're hopeful that we'll be successful. But if we're not, we will challenge it in court, as we have done many other laws that we believe are unconstitutional.
Attorney Griggs, I know, you know, we may all say we know why, obviously, that this bill is coming up now. But in your opinion, why? Why now? Why House Bill 838? Why?
I think that we have individuals in the state legislature that are still existing in the 1950s. And they don't understand that we're not attacking law enforcement. What we're calling for is police accountability, and the police should embrace that. And I think they need to talk to their police union and have them understand that this is a way to rebuild trust and legitimacy that the Obama 21st Century Police Initiative talks about. And if you want to enact legislation that does that, the Obama 21st Century Police Initiative is the solution that needs to be codified. But I think that police are stuck in a mindset from the old laws that were codified in the 1940s that have not been changed after two task force, one in the 60s, and, of course, the Obama 21st Century Policing Task Force that was in 2014-2015, and they're resistant because for a long time they've had, in their minds, the power to be the law. But I think now that they feel the public is starting to take back some of that power, they feel they're being disenfranchised. And they're not actually being disenfranchised. They're just being held accountable to the same standards that everybody else is.
Exactly. And forgetting what their purpose is and their functionality to protect and to serve the community at large. Let's go to Maggie. Maggie has a question or comment for you. Go ahead, Maggie. Attorney Griggs is on the line.
Hey, how you doing? This is another bill. Can you explain about this bill also? It was added on Bill 426. I, my understanding, if I was in the crowd, because I do support, I go out there and I march. I'm 72 years old. I am supporting the protesters. But what they're saying, if I'm standing there and somebody throws something at the police is going to be able to pick up where arrest could be able to arrest everybody that's in that crowd.
Yeah, that's correct. So basically what they're saying is that anybody or any group that attacks police, says anything derogatory, police can be charged as a member of the group. And then you have the gang legislation, which says three or more people with a common signs and all the other things that commit a crime, they can be held to a higher standard and have enhancements there as well. So these laws are working in tandem to suppress the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression, because they don't want people protesting. And so I think that's one of the impetus behind these bills. And we as Georgians have to push back against this because we don't want the erosion of our civil rights. Nobody's saying that it should be okay to attack police officers or to injure police officers. There, again, are laws that protect against that. But when you start infringing on citizens' First Amendment rights, that's when we have a serious issue. And if the governor does sign the bill, we will challenge the bill because it's an unconstitutional infringement on citizens' freedom of expression.
It is Attorney Griggs right here. Hold tight a second, Mac, if you have a second question. We'll be back with more. It's News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We'd like to thank you for all you haven't done.
She's not new to this.
She is true to this.
On Point with Wanda and Stokes.
Live well, win well. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Well, win well. You're on point with Wanda and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Speaking with Attorney Gerald Griggs, second vice president of the Atlanta chapter of the NAACP and chair of the Criminal Justice Committee for Georgia NAACP. Maggie, did you have a second question?
No, that's it. I appreciate that understanding. I just want everybody to know, because a lot of protesters that's out there don't know if this bill even exists. So I thank you on top of it and then making sure that people be aware of that bill also.
Thanks, Maggie. Deborah, hi. Good morning. Welcome to On Point. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Good topic. It's so funny because about 3 weeks ago when everything was going down, I was reading on the YouTube page where Governor Kemp had, he talked about, well, he did, you know how you do the YouTube page, and one of his things was that Georgia supports the blue. And I thought to myself, how ignorant for a governor of a state to put anything out there talking about a color blue when you're the governor. We understand why people are saying Black Lives Matter, not because we don't see all colors, but the color that they're that are being taken down and murdered are the black men, unarmed black men and women. So for a governor to go on YouTube and say that Georgia supports the blue, I thought it was so ironic and so unprofessional. And for one thing, even when he speaks, when he says Georgia, I don't see how he speaks for Georgia because Georgia never voted him into office. So Attorney Griggs, other than calling the governor's office, is there anything else that we can do where supporting money-wise or should we write letters or is mm-hmm. anything else that we could do other than just calling the governor's office in reference to this bill? And the most ironic thing about this whole thing is that this particular governor ran a campaign with a shotgun in his hand when he was running for a campaign office. So, you know, I think that's so ironic and so funny to me. And you actually spoke very heartily when you said that these people are outdated. They are outdated. They need to be put out of office. They do not need to be speaking for the majority, because if you look around you people, these people no longer speak for the majority. They just got into these seats. For instance, Kemp stole his seat. And then we need to get them out of these seats. So is there anything else that we can do other than calling that would help this? Because we can see from all around the world that the sentiment is not the same. The problem is what I say all the time. You got too many dinosaurs in these seats, too many people who are not subject to change. It doesn't matter what we say or what we do, and they need to get out of these seats. So I just wanted to see if there's anything else I can do other than making a phone call, because I do that all the time. And I also wanted to see if there's something that you can do, because there's so many other issues that are going on. I live in DeKalb County, and I love DeKalb County. I have seen a grocery store, Kroger's, on the corner of Covington Highway, DeKalb Medical. That has been there for 23 years. They have never done an upgrade to that Kroger's. I've been in my house for 23 years, and I have called that Kroger redundantly, repeatedly over the years. I would like to see a lot of changes made, and I can name the Redan Road, Wesley Chapel. They take money out of the community. They don't put any money back into the community. When I went and spoke to the supervisor over the weekend, I was like, what is going on with the store manager? What is going on now? He told me the only thing that they have on the books is to redo the parking lot. People, we have to change all of that. We have to take this opportunity and these measures, because me just calling over the years is not enough. We need to do this as a community to get these things done. And I thank you, Attorney Griggs, but maybe you can answer that particular question, but I really wanted to say that in reference to all of our communities, get more involved in your communities. Demand for these changes. They're taking money out of your communities. They're building up other communities. They're building up other stores. The only change that they did on over there at South Harrison was to put a gas station. The only change to get more money. The only change they did on the corner of Covington was to put more registers where you can check yourself out to get more of your money. I'm sick of them taking money out of our communities and put it in other communities. And I'm so happy for attorneys like Attorney Griggs and for WAOK to give us this opportunity to talk about these things. But I want to know if there's more that we can do other than making a phone call in reference to getting involved with this particular bill.
Okay. Go right ahead, Attorney Griggs.
And there's definitely more that can be done. appreciate the question, and I think that's the whole purpose of the NAACP. So I would say get in touch with the Georgia NAACP, get in touch with the DeKalb NAACP, and make your voice heard. You can get in touch with the Georgia NAACP by emailing the secretary at secretary@nacpga.org or the telephone number, which is 404-577-8977. And we have a complete campaign. It's called We're Done Dying. Where we are doing action items every single day to take action. I'm actually looking at the website, naacpga.org, and you can click on Take Action, and it tells you how you can get active in those cases. Specifically for what's happening in DeKalb County, what I would say is reach out to the DeKalb NAACP president, Teresa Hardy. She's very involved. She can get you involved with your commissioner in that district to have a conversation about economic development and holding these corporations accountable to infuse more corporate dollars into our community, to beautify our community so it can look just like everybody else's community. And I think that's the era we're in right now. We're calling for accountability from all of these individuals who have neglected the black community for so long. So I'm happy to see the level of energy. Thank you for everybody that's been marching and protesting. We're taking it to a different level. We're starting to call people to the table. We're having meetings with corporate entities to make sure they redirect funds, because it's more than just painting Black Lives Matter on a street. It's time to pour those dollars into the community to make sure that community is taken care of like every other community. So I think that's the next step. It's demanding more than just the NFL say, we're going to sing Lift Every Voice and Sing. I mean, we didn't ask you to do that. We asked you to give Colin Kaepernick a job, and we asked you to devote more resources into the communities that are being disenfranchised and are being brutalized. So when we have this conversation, we need to have distinct ask. The distinct ask is reinvestment in the African-American community, reinvestment in our educational systems, reinvestment in activities that the young people can have instead of being the ones that are being over-policed. So these are all conversations that we're having at the NAACP. Of course, we've seen an influx of membership, so we need all of the members to have more ideas about how we get more involved. But this is the actual purpose of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and that's why we're on the front line. So I would just say get involved. Join your local branch. Join the Georgia NAACP. We're ready to work. We've been working for 110 years, 111 years, and we continue to work, and we need your assistance. So my answer to that question is get involved. Go to the website. Follow the action items. We're going to call him. We're going to protest him. We're showing up to his house. We're going to show up at the Georgia football games. We have football, and we're going to demand an audience with the governor. We're going to let him know that you represent all of Georgia. That's and right. Not just the individuals that voted for you or the ones that you suppressed their votes. And then if he doesn't listen, we're going to sue him. We are in an age of accountability, and we want it on the highest level. It's not just about business as usual in Georgia. We're taking it to a new level.
Very well said, Attorney Griggs. I want to ask you, before you leave, you're such a smart, intelligent man. What is it like to be a black man in this day?
That's a difficult question. I think it's the same as it's always been. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about in this generation is we have the wisdom of our ancestors that are guiding us. We have the energy of the next generation, which is a burning fire that will not be extinguished. So it's a beautiful yet difficult time to be an African-American, particularly an African-American man. But when you have Thurgood looking down on you, you have Charles Hamilton Houston looking down on you, you have Dr. King, you have Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, all saying that we passed the torch to you. It's time for you to pass it to the next generation. We are invigorated, and we are winning. And that's what I want people to understand.
Yes.
Even in this particular season, we are winning. You're seeing Confederate monuments come down. And 5 years ago, when the Georgia NAACP and Atlanta NAACP called for the removal of those carvings, everybody laughed at us. Now DeKalb County is taking it down, Rockdale County is taking it down, and we're going to take it down off of that giant mountain that's in Stone Mountain. We're also seeing legislative change. We're seeing corporations bend to the will of melanated individuals. So let's just remember, We may just be the minority in this country, but we are the majority globally. Let's reconnect with that diaspora and let's make our ancestors proud.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Attorney Griggs, for sharing with us today. And as he always says, he's seeking truth, mercy, and justice forever. Thank you for what you're doing and continue to work, Attorney Griggs.
Thank you. You have a great day.
All right, you too. It's On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes, and now we're going to go into our Medical Mondays. Coming up in the next hour, Dr. Joffrey, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hello, this is your doctor, Dr. Joffrey. I want to encourage you to stay tuned for Medical Mondays with Dr. Joffrey, who you've been rocking with for a while. Coming up.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.